141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another busy day across Scottish football. Derek McInnes says Rangers are playing with fire as he looks for Chermiti and Roman's replacements, amongst others. Celtic agree a £6.8 million deal for Mika Bauer, and a big night of European qualification action looming large tomorrow. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me on this Wednesday, as the Wednesdays progress, as the good Partick Thistle performances continue, the spring in the step of Alex Ray and Tony Watt gets higher and higher. Look at the two of you, grinning from ear to ear. The Championship darlings getting rave reviews for your performance against Livingston on Friday night. Top of the league, 6 points. Only ways down from here.
No, that's the thing. Sometimes people say that with a roller coaster, you go up to come down. But no, hopefully we can go to the top and keep it up. I started on the bench on Friday, but the boys were absolutely magnificent. The gaffer said it's probably one of the most complete performance. Yeah. Complete performances, and it's probably because I wasn't playing, Gordon, to be honest. But no, it was brilliant. You can't even start picking boys out because everybody was outstanding, and it was coming though. It's been like that for weeks. Training's been good. Everything's been good, and obviously I heard on the radio, on the TV, there was a shout out to our new set piece coach, which is good. That it's been
no credit for Mark Wilson and Alex Ray allowed.
Well, a friend of ours was in watching training the day, Andy Halliday's brother, and he did say, to be fair, I didn't want to say this because it'll make his head bigger. He said, I can't believe the work they two do. Obviously we've got Kenny Alpha who deals with a goat, but just two people on the coaching staff, and that's just a credit to what we do as a club. It's a credit to what they do, and the set pieces have been nailed on, aren't they?
Is he just trying to get himself in the starting 11 for the next game?
He's trying everything. He says, I was looking well when I come in. He says, I love the shot. It's absolute tosh.
Hibs next up.
Yeah, no,
nah,
listen,
that's not for you.
It'll be
you stay at that.
I'm looking forward to Sunday. Obviously Hibs are a really good traditional club. Started the season well. Really impressive result at the weekend as well. And hopefully they go through and the European competition as well, Gordon. I think it's important.
So they're knackered.
Listen, before that, I think there's a bigger thing at play here. I think the coefficient is so important that we actually start picking up points.
Yeah, agreed.
01419511025. That's Partick Thistle. Had their 2 minutes of fame unless anybody else phones in. But for now, there is so much to get through across Scottish football. So give us a call right now, please. 01419511025. Loads doing the rounds today. It was a really interesting day at Rangers because the pre-match press conference ahead of what's a massive game in its own right, Jagiellonia Bialystok, Rangers trailing from the first leg, trying obviously to go through, wanting to go through anyway, really needing to go through given the lack of feel-good factor over the last couple of games, and then the question marks about the squad and the replacement for Youssef Chermiti. Derek McInnes saying yes, for sure they're going to try and get into the market now for a striker, which they hadn't planned on doing. Says the club are playing with fire because there is no fit available left-footed defender in the building. Who should the replacement in the short term for Tor Romans be? And then he's back within a few weeks perhaps. Who is that left back to come in and support that department? Dion Mandy is on his way out. In fact, I think that might even have just about, yes, there we go, right on cue for us starting. Rangers confirming official Mohamed Diomande is away to Koram FK in the Turkish Super League for an undisclosed fee. I think most people know it's around about £4.5 million. So your fresh reaction to that, please, Rangers fans. Celtic fans, I know you were flying high after Casper Hu at the weekend. We still can't give you any confirmed signings, but it does look like Mika Bauer is on his way in, over £6.5 million for the midfielder. So again, your reaction to that, please. Motherwell, maybe a sign of their intentions, signing Joe Hodge with a good CV, a good pedigree coming into the club. They've got that big game in Europe themselves tomorrow as well. So at this stage in the season, there is no such thing as a quiet midweek. It is constant, the number of talking points you've got here. 01419511025. You are up here on Friday night with Partick Thistle's performance. You were down there on Sunday with Rangers' performance.
Yeah.
I've heard about you in here. I've looked under that desk where you were sitting. There are holes in the floor where you've been putting lumps out of the place. What is going on?
Yeah, listen, it was a frustrating watch, I have to say. I was in here with Big Killian on Sunday. I listened to Andy on Monday night talking about the lack of forward passes from the middle of the park. I totally agree. If anyone had listened to the show, they could have sensed my frustration as well. They have to be more braver on the ball. They have to be more progressive, and they have to dictate the game more, particularly at Ibrox, where you have a lot of the ball. You have to make it count. You know, sideways and backwards is not going to cut it. So, you know, but again, there's other issues as well. You look at the manner in which they lost the winning goal. We often talk about rest defence. They're dropping off, which allows the Hibs defence to turn and play forward. And then at sixes and sevens at the back. So there's a lot to worry with my former club. You know, obviously Chimiti out for a long period of time as well was a real blow. And I think Derek McInnes hit the nail on the head when he said, at least we've got time to react with that. Because if the window had closed, they would have had to go with what they have. So there's a lot of work to be done. And then obviously we've got the European tie tomorrow night against the Polish outfit. So a lot of stuff to work on the coming weeks to try and get bodies out. Bodies in. Obviously the Diomande leaving as well will free up some dough. So you know, I think there's a lot of work to do, and they need to collaborate at all in terms of importance. A number nine is a stick on a left back as well, because I think today when he references there's no left sided defender, that's a cry out to the board saying this is not acceptable and we need to get someone in.
And then for Celtic, Tony, it's amazing what winning games can do, because it was 15 days ago that Casper Hu was signed. Everybody kept saying Celtic need numerous bodies. They've not added another in 15 days. But when that guy goes and scores a hat-trick at the weekend and you put in a performance like you do, people can apply a bit of patience, waiting to see if and when Micah Bauer arrives. They've got their Egyptian winger on the way in as well, by all accounts.
The two teams have had two totally different transfer windows. Now, I can see why Celtic have went for quality over quantity, because a big reset wasn't needed when you've got the likes of Carter Vickers and Alistair Johnson coming back. That shows up their defence, and then they've added Duran, who for me looks every bit as impressive as Ho, or Who, whatever you want to call him. He just looks like a proper number nine, and for me, I think he's a perfect replacement for Maeda, because I don't think Maeda's link-up play was amazing. I think Duran's going to do the pressing from the forward areas as well, and Yang also is electric when it comes to pressing, and it allows Who to focus more on the build-up, holding the ball in, linking the play. And I said it last week and I'll say it again, Negrin looks as if he's formed a partnership straight away. And last season he was all about too many touches, slow play. This season he looks like a new player. Celtic, for me, about 2 or 3 weeks ago I thought they had to add 5 or 6. Now I think that number went down drastically.
They still need to add that, Gordon. They still need to add it. They need a goalkeeper. They need a left back. They're talking about bringing a midfielder in. They're also talking about the boy,
the winger.
The winger.
But these are all backups. What I mean is, Rangers
is it
probably,
backups? 6.8 million.
No,
and 9 for the winger.
And 9 for the winger.
What my point is Celtic have got Tierney as a left back. I think they're going to run with Sinisalo, Duran right wing. They probably need to bring in a starting centre mid and a starting left winger for me. And then maybe
you need strength and depth, mate. You look at the bench at the weekend; it was pretty light.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I was just looking around the room and thinking, the three of us are in this windowless studio for the next 2 hours. Am I going to have to ask people to phone in and tell us what that eclipse is like out there? We've got no chance.
What time's that?
Well, it's before 8 o'clock, I know that. And we're going to be stuck in here. Not a window to be had. We are oblivious to what's meant to be once in a generation opportunity. And I'm stuck looking at you two. That's more damaging for your eyesight than looking straight at it.
I'm looking sharp.
Anyway, anyone wants to phone in?
I like that new top you've got there as well.
Aye, well.
You've been golfing again?
Well.
Vice Golf, right, okay.
Vice Golf, aye. I've got a new couple of pieces. I've new balls as well.
A new sponsorship deal,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it might be, aye. And I've got new golf balls. And
it's,
you know what,
up to something, this guy.
I started with 2 dozen yesterday.
4 left.
I think I've got about a dozen left. They're on there, mate.
01419511025. The phone line's genuinely just lit up, which makes me wonder if it is people just phoning in to tell us what they're doing for this eclipse. No. But I think John was through already before that. So John, take it away. What have you got for us?
Good evening, Gordon, and Alex and Tony, good luck for the season. My
Thank
dad's
you.
A Jags fan, so hope he's doing well and next time he's go up. I was talking to your producer there. I feel with Chimiti being out, maybe give Miosky a chance. I feel he was in and out the team last year. and I feel it showed glimpses of him, and I feel maybe give him a chance, because I feel there's other positions in the part that Rangers need to fill. Basically fill right back and left back at the moment with the injuries and that, and I feel the right back McCrory, I don't think he's come in and looked better than Tavener so far, so I would give me Oscar a chance and see how it goes. Still got Nadira there, so I'm sure we'd probably need other positions for. I don't know what you think.
William, just on it, you had those guys anyway and Chermiti, so the fact that you take Chermiti out, does that not sort of worry you and make you think you'd want to get into the market?
Who's William? I'm John.
Oh, John, do you know what? I'm blaming my screen. Andy who's watching the live. I've got a big screen in front of me that says William and Stevenson, but John, you're right. William's on the other line. Sorry, take it away.
That's no problem. Call worse. No, well, if we're going to bring somebody else in, striking department, it probably will be in loan, because the money probably needs to be used in different departments, I feel. But Phil Majorski, he scored maybe 10, 11 goals last year. I know a lot of them came.
14, mate, he got last year.
And stuff. How many did he get?
14. He got 14 goals last season.
Give him, I feel you need to give him a chance. He's not really, in the three games we've played so far, he's not really come on and had a chance. And I feel, it's going to be a striker. It will be somebody on loan, I feel. But I feel the defence, right back and left back, are more important at the moment, and probably getting the winger in as the one for PSV, because the strikers have been starved of service, I feel, so far. So if we want our strikers to score, we need to be better putting the ball into them, I feel.
Alex, we'll hear it in a minute, but Derek McInnes is saying today they are now, you know, they're going to try and sign a striker. Whether it does open the door a bit for Mijovski, perhaps, but John's talking about other areas. That's just part of the problem. It's not that you then don't try and sign a striker because you're trying to sign a right back and a left back. You now need to do it all because you were in an already difficult position, and then an ACL injury comes out of nowhere.
I think the Andrew Kavanagh was at the AGM on Monday, says between 3 and 5 players, and that was before the diagnosis for Chimiti was unveiled. They're trying to get a boy from Sheffield United. I think it's Ryan Oney.
I've seen that being shot down as well, though. I'm wondering that I saw that name mentioned for sure. Yeah.
Well, one thing is certain. They need to replace Chermiti. Otherwise, you're going with two strikers. You've got Nadiri and Majovski, as he says there, John.
Shankland
as well, sorry. And I look at that and I don't get the impression, and this is only an outside view looking in, that Majorski was in the plans, Gordon, because I don't think he's featured at all this season. Now, obviously, the injury to Chimiti will accelerate that, where he will most certainly be a bit part between now and then. But until they get a player in, I'm sure that that's one of the priorities. But I think there's a few priorities. I think, as you mentioned, the left-sided defender is a priority. So I think there's a bit of work still to be done. They'll be looking to bring in at least another winger or two as well.
Let's actually just hear from Derek McInnes rather than taking my word for it, albeit it was up there today. He says Rangers are playing with fire with the lack of fit players, as he looks to sign cover for Chermiti first and foremost, and then a left back with two Romans facing around about 6 weeks out as well.
Obviously really disappointed for ourselves. You know, selfishly, he's a big part of what we wanted to do this season, and he's obviously a talented boy. but for Yusuf himself, obviously he's very young. It'll be difficult for him to accept and understand what's happened to him, but such is the way, you know, life can, you know, 1 minute you're flying high and get the full season ahead for you and a lot of lofty ambitions for yourself, and then obviously he's had to deal with this injury now, so real tough one for the boy and tough one for us particularly. The only saving grace from our point of view as a club, the fact that it's happened in a transfer window and we've got the opportunity to react to that, because ordinarily you wouldn't get the chance once the window closes. We're going to be without him for a number of weeks, which exacerbates the situation. Defensively, we're really short in numbers. We don't have a left-footed defender in the building, and you know we're keen to try and get that resolved as quickly as possible, because I do think that with the numbers we've got there, we are kind of playing with fire, and we are a couple of defenders being injured from the situation we're in. You know, with Ben Godfrey now and Romans. But we are... The good thing is we've got the ability to react to it, and hopefully we can react positively and quite swiftly, to be honest.
Quite strong words, wasn't it? Talking about, you know, playing with fire, no left-footed defenders.
Yeah,
I think he's been cute with the left-footed defenders one, in terms of, I think he probably wanted a left-footed centre-half as well, just based on the way they've been, probably not as fluent in terms of with two right-footers. I think it was Sterling that was playing. Was it Sterling playing left?
Left last Thursday, yeah.
So I think he's been cute by saying that, to push for a left-back and a left centre-back. Now, you see the links with Penrice and people like that. I think that would be a no-brainer, James Penrice, somebody that's won a league last year. He's Scottish. He's fit. He's got good quality. And I think it's somebody that knows the league as well. I know they're the cliches that you hit with, but he's went away to AEK Athens. I'm sure he won the league last year. I might be wrong. But I'm positive he would come in, do well, fight for a spot with Tuor Robinson.
I think he was one that was on the radar, but it seems to be a debate over whether it's a permanent deal, a loan deal, loan fees, that sort of thing. That's why that one looks...
I think that was a stumbling block, Gordon. I think they were trying to get back
a loan. Name came about yesterday.
That was mentioned as well. So, listen, they'll be exhausting everything, Gordon, because they'll be trying to get bodies in the building, and with Romans out for 48 weeks, the balance is not there.
Do you think, just on John's core point, do you think Miowski could do this and step in and be that guy, or does it need to be... No, because Derek McInnes is in no
and it's similar,
there he's going to
it's
try and sign
to the
anyone.
Magoma one, they talk about they want to reset and get a new squad in and new leaders, and I think Magoma and Miowski are very similar. Two players that done alright, but Rangers are trying to move on and do something different. I think both of them probably would have been looked to get moved out if Magoma was permanent and Miowski obviously is permanent. I think he'd be better going playing games. He'll score goals somewhere. He's better going and being a starter.
William's on the other line. Thank you very much to John. William, what's your point tonight?
Hello, Gordon, Tony and Alec.
How you doing?
Hi, William.
Yeah, I'll try and get through these two points as quick as I can, Gordon. Right, the man Chernity, right, if that was true for Turkey with that bid, 22 million, he should never have been on that park in a million year. All right, the man said you can't believe everything that's come out of Turkey, right? But I would have drove that man to the airport myself for 22 million quid. That's gross negligence for these 49ers boys. These are supposed to be proper businessmen, right? My next point is, right...
Oh, it's a good point, though. Let's pick up on it, because it's interesting. Do you have to play them?
Yeah.
I feel like most, what's the phrase, football men like yourselves or guys in the game, you just accept that he plays, Engels played at the weekend, that sort of thing. But I wonder how he's feeling. Is that an extra side of it when you get... You know, as a player, if he thinks he was onto a big money move potentially and then played and gets injured.
Yeah, listen, I think Derek McInnes touched on that because he's such a young guy and it is a major injury. I've had a cruciate myself, so I know that what it entails, and it's no fun being out for months on end and being young, having to deal with that potentially with that move. But going back to William's original point there, I was asked the same question a couple of weeks ago when it was Engels and things. I says, you play your strongest team. Now, there'll be supporters on both sides leading into this, you know, next week's Celtic one and Rangers one. People want to progress into these group stages and you play your best players within that. Unless you get an offer that's suitable to the club, you have to play them when they're available. I was asked the same question about Nico Raskin last week as well. Says you've got to play him because he's one of your better midfielders. So I would have no reservations about putting your best players out there, particularly with the start that Derek McInnes has had, albeit it's only a few games. You've got to get your best players on the park.
You not see the sense in that, William? Is it not just speaking with the benefit of hindsight that you talk about the fact that he shouldn't have played?
Alec, 22 million, mate. 22 million. Give me peace. Right, my next 2 points is this game tomorrow night, right, and Sunday. See if we don't get results. See if we can not take these two competitions. McInnes is the worst start. Well, listen to this. A worse start than Russell Martin. Russell Martin had 2 draws in his first 2 league games. McInnes has no got that. And plus, he'd done no too bad in Europe, right? We lost the first game in Europe under McInnes. The question's got to be asking Monday morning. If we do these two competitions come Monday, the question, he's in a sticky wicket. Did you not agree? He's in a big sticky wicket.
We don't hang about in this country.
No, I disagree. I think you need to give him at least 3 form. I think talking about that's premature. Also, and people always slaughtered Tavernier. Last year when Russell Martin came in, he at least had his captain, somebody that knows the club. Who's in there telling Derek McInnes how things work? Who's in there setting standards?
Do you mean, I thought that was the whole point of him being bought and all these guys that have got a great attitude being brought in? It feels like if anything there's an over reliance on that.
But what you need to do is he needs to find out what people are all about. He's not had enough time, sorry. That's what I'm saying. Tavernier could at least guide Russell Martin through that. For me, McInnes needs a wee bit more time to find out who's up for it and who's not. He's putting players out there that he's maybe given a chance, and there'll maybe be players in the building he's not given a chance that will then step up and become that. I still think it's far too premature to be judging him. At the weekend, I watched the last 20 minutes of the game. I watched the second half, but the last 20 minutes of the game, Rangers were decent. Just a mistake on the counter-attack.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because we use it, you know, when William talks about a sticky wicket, you talk about, does that mean a manager's losing his job? And that's where everybody scoffs and says, you know, how can you be having that conversation? But to lean into William's point a bit, you're trying to tell me that if Rangers do lose tomorrow, everyone will walk out the stadium and all of their arms round each other and go, it's too early to judge this. Come on, guys. Like, do you know, they just won't. And then the same at the weekend, with, you know, with, especially with it being a knockout game.
Absolutely.
And by the way, the chat again, I don't know what the odds would be of Rangers going in and losing the next two to add to. So maybe there isn't that much of a chance either, Alex, but you know, even if it's a sign, Rangers did beat Panathinaikos and Victoria Pilsen in their early European qualifiers last season. If Europe and the league is not going well at the start, and Derek McInnes knows probably better than anyone how difficult a place it will be.
Without doubt. I go back to my original time at Rangers as a player 20 odd years ago, and we got a poor start. We drew up at Aberdeen, out to CSK Moscow, and then finally a couple of games later we lost to Celtic at Parkhead. And believe me, the roof had caved in. I'd never experienced anything like it, and I felt as if I knew what the club was all about. But when you're actually in that kind of environment, talk about pressure, I'd never sampled that at any other club. So that just to give you a little flavour of what potentially could come down the pipe. But I think the board and everybody needs to settle down a little bit. Now, obviously it would be a really poor start if the scenarios played out, and not a supporter within the stadium at all would be going, we're happy with this start. That would be inevitable. However, I just think that we need to kind of allow him to get his players in, try and get a couple of wins, and try and get up and running.
Thank you, William. Good time to call. We'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls until 8. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. We must have some Partick Thistle fans before the end of the show that want to wax lyrical about their start to the season, but they're in pundit mode this evening, so keep the calls coming. Gareth is next on. How are you, Gareth?
How you doing, Gordon? You okay?
You got an eclipse, Sinanan?
Not yet, no.
Right, okay, keep us posted. What are you thinking about the football, more importantly?
My point is, I was just kind of going on what the last caller was saying, mm-hmm. About Derek McInnes. I do honestly think Derek McInnes is the right man for Rangers, but Rangers fans will not keep putting up with it. They get beat by Hibs on Sunday, which, yeah, Hibs were the better team. Yeah, in the second half, Rangers were better, but unfortunately, just didn't get the result. If we get put out of the Europa League tomorrow night, which, to be honest, it's all about the league for me this season, so it wouldn't really bother me if it got put out or not. And then Sunday, if we get put out of the cup, there's going to be massive pressure on Derek McInnes' head, because Rangers fans just won't put up with it. But at the same time, I do think he is the right man for the job. But unfortunately, the injuries have just come at the wrong time for us. We're trying to build a squad to go forward for the season, but they're just coming at the wrong time. And it's just unfortunate. It's just football.
Listen, everybody's got their own opinion. I'd be really interested to hear, though, how many Rangers fans are as understanding as Gareth. Because I think you can say, I want to prioritise the league, or it's all about the league for me, and I'm not that bothered about Europe, until you lose tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You know, and then it just adds,
it just compounds it, yeah,
to everything else that's going on, doesn't it? And then you've got the stuff that you can't control. Injuries.
Absolutely.
What that does to your transfer, you know, everything's under the spotlight. So it feels like you actually just can't afford to write off any games when that's happening.
No, and the thing is, as a Rangers manager, you can't say, oh, listen, we'll just park Europa League. Financially, it's where you want to be as well. Obviously, the opportunity to get the Champions League. So this is the next best. And
can it be the difference as well, if you are going into the transfer market next week and offering a player Europa League football versus Conference League? Do you think that can be a difference?
Yeah. No, to be honest with you, I think it's all down to the Nelsons. I think it all boils down to money for some of these guys. I wouldn't imagine that would be a deal breaker
in the bank. balance then if you go to the bonuses, the Europa League.
Europa League, the financial implications are far better. That's the reason why I'm saying it's the importance. The board will want to be getting there as well. I think Derek McInnes will most certainly want to be getting there as well, because it will get him up and running, and then he can maybe start building. Listen, injuries are always part and parcel of the game. The one thing that we can say is Rangers have a really big squad of players. Now, the balance of that might not be great. They might be struggling with wingers. You have to find another solution, and quickly, because it's so important that he gets that one, tries to get something going in another direction, and then we don't get calls like this from Gareth and William and folk like that. So it's just a case of trying to change the narrative, and the only way that that changes, like you opened the show, Gordon, was is by winning football matches.
Yeah,
Gareth, when you talk about the injuries being at the wrong time, Derek McInnes saying today the club are going to have to go back into the transfer market and try for another striker, you confident that can be done? How big a challenge is it going to be to find a Chermiti replacement, plus a left back, plus whatever else is needed?
When I say that they've come at the wrong time, but I mean, injuries can happen any time, unfortunately, but the good thing is we're still in the transfer window. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've got to go out and get a striker now, but Miofsky's sitting on the bench and he's not been used several games now, and he did score 14 goals last season. So is go out and look for a striker. If we can't find one, Miofsky might be given the chance, and he might just totally change all what he got Rangers fans or Derek McInnes' thoughts on him, completely change that. But they will look for a striker, and I think we probably will get one. But
is this where it's a test of your recruitment system and what procedures you have in place? Because 4 days ago, Rangers are not looking for a striker, but what's your database? What are your analytics? Do you have a list that you can then just go to when it comes as a surprise? Are clubs agile enough for it to not be a complete surprise? Because maybe Chermiti was going to go to Galatasaray anyway. Yeah. Now, granted, that would have then come with a massive fee, which you don't now have. But what was the plan for the replacement? What was the succession plan for Youssef Chermiti anyway, and has that just now been accelerated because of the injury?
I would imagine, and this obviously without knowing, I would imagine that there would have been things behind the scenes that they would most certainly be looking at replacements for Chermiti. That's a fact, because the thing is, if they'd up to bid, or they might even have said this is close to our valuation, then you have to pull the trigger. So there will most certainly be names there. The problem with that is you may well have been looking at 8 to 10, whatever they decide to the place, the valuation of the guy that we're going to bring in the door, Gordon. So they might not have the 8 to 10. So that then changes the narrative to, okay, can we get a loan deal? Hence the reason of being linked to the boy for Sheffield United. So they really have to have several players on a list that they can maybe try and chip away at in terms of priority.
Derek McInnes saying today, Tony, number nines are the hardest to come by. That's why everyone, you know, everyone wants one, but they want a similar profile. They want the power, they want the pace to sort of run in behind. I guess that makes sense, but at the same time they are still probably struggling a little bit to find what the best formation and best combination is anyway.
I think Shankland does best in a two up front, probably a wee bit off a striker or with two wingers crossing the ball. Get him in the box, he'll score goals. I think the question mark has been, and I think it's harsh, is who's going to be the number nine in Europe? They always say Chermiti because of legs, and then you're going to need to replace him. But to get a big, strong, fast, technical striker who scores goals in the Europa League isn't going to get you £1 million. You're not getting that. So, like Alex said, they're probably thinking, right, we'll go for £25 million for Chermiti, we'll bank £15 million, and we'll be playing in the £8 to £10 million ballpark. Now that Chermiti gets injured, they're probably going down to the £1.5 to £3 million ballpark, something like that. Let's just say numbers. The difference between the £3 million and the £10 million striker is massive in this day and age. I think.
Is that why a loan is more likely for this one? Because it's the unexpected
the thing
one.
Is, I don't know if you're getting a £9-10 million striker that's affordable next year for on a loan, because teams will just sell them now because everybody's fishing in that market. Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, I think he makes a valid point as well. This is a real opportunity for Miofsky. You know, sometimes I remember my second season at Sunderland, they were trying to punt us, and then all of a sudden everything fell into place, and I went on to have a decent time there. But
was that ability or behaviour related at the time?
Well, the second option. I think it was today with off the field issues. But anyway, I think, it's interesting, because see, if they had sold us, I would never known what had actually kind of come down the line, because it was one of my most successful periods at a football club, because Sunderland was such a big club. Anyway, this could be a real chance for Majovski to really kick on and really kind of get his season up and running.
Huab Druish, I think, is the pronunciation, I think, of the...
You know him, didn't you?
The winger from PSV, though. That's $6.5 million. So again, that's the type of money that was probably
set aside.
You know, that's fine. And then based on what we're seeing, could be wrong, but if there is a debate about trying to get Magoma back on loan, not wanting to sign James Penrice permanently and it be a loan, chances are they weren't planning on, you know, dedicating a big fee to that area. So Tony's alluded to, what do? You then find it from elsewhere to go and buy a striker? Or
I think you might have to be creative, Gordon. So something might have been a priority. No, seriously.
Phone in faithfuls.
No, but the thing is, it might have been a priority for a certain position when you were willing to spend money. So on Penrice, they wanted it to be a permanent move. They might have to say, we need to go for a loan deal so that frees up money to go and get a number nine. So they're going to have to think outside the box. But I think Kavanagh says they're willing to invest more money in if need be.
Do you think that they're banking on their Raskin money as well to start making a couple of signings? Because if he stays in the building...
What Raskin money, though?
Yeah, but it has to be the offer and it has to be accepted.
We've got to this stage and there's not, as far as we know, not really been...
The Raskin money with the...
No, I know what you mean. Has there been any bids? It doesn't really look like it.
It's like Celtic are starting to now go ahead and kick on with the transfers. Is that three? Was it the boy Bawa, the winger?
Hassan. None of them are confirmed yet, but those two, yeah.
But now they're saying that Arne Engels is close to leaving, so it kind of falls into place. When he gets confirmed, they two might come in the door.
Gareth, overall, what's the feel? Do you believe that, you've outlined the doomsday scenario? I think a lot of people would agree. If it doesn't go well the next couple of games, it's going to be a very unhappy place. But equally, you're not giving the team any chance of turning it round in the next couple?
No, I think we can. I mean, we're still in the tie tomorrow night. We're only a goal behind, so we're still in the tie. And St Mirren at Ibrox on Sunday, you'd think, is it a fortress still? But St Mirren, yeah, the top of the league with Celtic, they were top of the league with Celtic. I think we will go and win that game, but it's just there's too much pressure on Derek McInnes already if we lose them.
Well, it's going to be an interesting few days on the pitch and the transfer market as well, that's for sure. Thank you to Gareth for taking the time. Before we go any further, I'm furious at the championship schedulers who've got... You playing Inverness next Friday, is it?
Friday, yes.
Means you're missing out on the golf day. The big golf day for Cash for Kids. It's all thanks to our friends at Arnold Clark, the big Scottish golf day. And listen to this for a prize. You two both love a freebie as well. This will be right up your
right
street.
Spot.
Right, it's at the Carrick, nice spot along the road, Friday the 21st of August. The prize is this: chauffeured to the course. Your four ball get chauffeured to the course by JJS Executive Travel. You get your breakfast, your four ball at the golf, beer and a pie at the halfway house, a barbecue lunch, and a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits, and then an overnight stay at Cameron House, and your chauffeur driven back down the road.
Can I ask you a serious question? Who's the pundits that are going
that's
there?
To be revealed. Because you two are there.
We know
one of them doesn't mind a freebie anyway.
So anyway, text GOLF to 84901. That makes a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. So you've given your fiver to the local children that need your help, and you might end up with that prize for you and three of your buddies. It's an unbelievable prize. The text costs one standard message plus the fiver donation that's taken within 60 minutes. If you don't want to donate, you can reply cancel. It's over 18s only. You must ask the bill payer's permission, and the T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. You do need to be quick though. This competition, let me be very clear, closes at 8 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock. So don't miss out. Text GOLF to 84901.
Talking football, 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here at 0141 951 1025. If you want to join in, lots of talk about transfer business, mostly at Ibrox so far. Not only as they look to add to the squad, but also replace a couple of injured players as well. It's a big night in Europe tomorrow, so any thoughts ahead of those games, please get them in. You're more than welcome to get in touch at Clyde SSB. And if you really want to just phone in and tell Alex and Tony what they're missing with the eclipse, you're more than welcome. I suspect it's probably cloudy out there. If I know Glasgow in the west, like I think I do, everybody's outside. I'm getting a picture sent to me of my 5-year-old standing out the front with the daft glasses on, staring up, but not.
Would you have to go out and buy the glasses?
Well, what is all this advice about not looking directly at it and all that sort of stuff?
but so we make a fortune.
I mean, way back when they had the last one, did not give you them in the paper. Did not, you know, everybody got like provided with them.
Yeah. I
feel like a wee memory of that.
No? I was too young for that.
Yeah, that's true. You probably were. Right. 01419511025. I think we are about to speak to Scott, who is on the line. How are you, Scott?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Good, thank you. Good. What made you call tonight?
Hello, Alex. Now, hello, Mr. Tony Watt, who gave me one of the best nights at Celtic Park ever. So nice. I just wanted to drop
Hi,
that.
Scott.
Do you know what? We've made it a couple of weeks into the season without MD bringing that up.
The big smile on my face here.
This is the only chance I'm getting, Gordon, so I'm going to take
right,
it.
Right, go on then.
Right, so before I go to my points, we don't need enough clouds up at Ibrox, mate. They've got enough dark clouds over there. It doesn't need to be dark out anywhere over there. But, no, the Celtic thing, two in, two coming in, two obviously going the way out. I'd obviously just phoned you up to say about Braga coming in. What do you think? I think I phoned you last week, Gordon, and said kind of the same thing, roughly. And I think he's obviously dropped out of the Champions League. He's dropped out of the Europa League, or he's going to drop out of the Europa League, and he's wanting Champions League football, isn't he? So I just think it's a no-brainer for me. Just wonder what you guys think.
Is that an area Celtic still need to address for you, Scott? That kind of striking department, having spent so much on two already?
Well, it's strengthened depth in it. Every single decent manager wants two good players for every position. Alex said earlier on, if you looked at the Celtic bench the other day, it wasn't really that great. But look at the days when you had Larsen, Sutton, all these kind of players. Look at the players on the bench. You know, you could take off Sutton, bring on Big Hartson, do you know what I mean? We probably don't need them. I'm just saying that I think it would be a good acquisition for Celtic, because I think the players that he's bringing in are European players, and I think that he's wanting a big shot to either the Champions League if we qualify, or the Euro. I think we'll qualify for the Champions League, but let's just say Champions League. He's wanting to crack at that to see how far he gets, and he's buying European players on long-term deals. So I think Braga would fit into that.
Hearts fans are currently throwing things at them. Imagine you'd said to Hearts fans a couple of months ago, Derek McInnes, Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin will go to Rangers, Beningame will go, Halcott will be injured, and then just when you get the season started and things maybe look like they're starting to tick, Braga goes to Celtic.
Kazaridis as well.
And Kazaridis, who was the poster boy for the Jamestown ones at the start of last season, and Kazaridis is gone. Could you see Claudio Braga going to Celtic, Tony?
I could see Claudio Braga playing at Celtic, but not for the 8 million fee that they're reporting. I don't think Celtic would pay that, and I don't think they'd be wise to pay it. You seen him at the weekend, he got a goal and two assists, I think it was. He's a good player, a really good player, but I don't think Celtic are giving another team in the league £8 million for a player. I just don't.
Especially if they've gone 11 for who, 6.5 for Duran, yeah. 9 potentially for Hassan, 6.5 for Bauer.
Yeah.
It would be quite something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't see them. I think that would be all the marquee signings this window. And if they needed another position after Bauer, Hatate's meant to maybe be going and Ingles maybe goes, I think they'll maybe do another centre mid rather than a winger. So,
and they do still, like, arithmetically need a left back and a goalie, probably, as
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, which will probably be smaller signings for, in my opinion. I think it will be more backups. But I don't see Celtic spending £8 million. I'm just seeing that figure on Twitter. Could be wrong, but I just don't see Celtic paying that for Claudio Braga. I'm not saying he's not worth it, but I'd see that more of a form team coming in for him.
Wouter Vrinken spoke today, actually, Alex, in the lead up to that Benfica game, a chance for Claudio Braga to play his countryman. Actually, similar to a discussion we had a bit on air about Nico Raskin, and then we continued it into the break, if anyone cares about. Just because you think there's going to be bids come in and you expect bids coming in, Braga probably falls into that. I think he was talking about that today, saying that in terms of anything concrete and official, there hasn't been any. Which, does that surprise you, given the trajectory he's been on, Norwegian football, Hearts, and then straight in to be the player of the year in the entire country? Surprised no one's come in with a bid?
Yeah, listen, I think I agree with Tony in some ways. I think if you're talking about £8 million, it may be a bit lively. I think he had a brilliant season last year. What is he, mid-20s, 25, 26, 17 goals, which is a decent return. But it's not just that, it's his work rate, his press, which is what a lot of teams are looking for, you know, on the front foot. And I think he gives defenders a really hard time. I wouldn't be surprised if he was... Are you going to sign that at Celtic 20, 25, 26 and then you're maybe £8 million, 2 or 3 years, you're going to get much back at 29
years. Scott's point about strength and depth, but are you spending that on your third choice striker then?
No, and the thing is, I think he could be flexible. I think he could play off a side. Yeah. I think he could play as an eight as well. I think he's intelligent enough to play in the Celtic midfield as an eight. So potentially he could do a couple of positions. But I think he will potentially leave Braga because of what one thing is evident from Hearts is if
they
get...
So? That's what I'm saying. Based on that today, though, you're not surprised there'll still be no concrete bid by this stage?
No. I'm surprised that no one's come in from Gordon because, as you said, you're talking about the standout player last year in Scotland. I think he's, as you say, he's up and running again this season, couple assists. And I think when you look at teams that are looking at data, this wee guy would very much fall into that category. And again, it will depend on, you know, what profile other teams are looking for. But the one thing we know about Hearts is if the right offer comes in, they'll happily sell on and then go again with the analytics. It's our model.
Yeah.
Interesting suggestion though, Scott. It would just be what the Hearts fans need after a long, difficult summer if Claudio Braga was... to go, but they're looking better in the league. Good win at the weekend. What's the mindset going into a game against Benfica when you're 6-1 down from the
damage
first
limitation
leg?
Put the second team out, get boys fit.
Can you imagine putting them out though, Tony? It could be a,
no, I know, but you just say to them, look, lads, here, you boys that need minutes, boys like your Braga still has something to give in a game like that. He'll want to play against his countrymen, he'll want to play against Benfica, but your boys like Josh McPake now, who never played the other European tie, you would play boys like that.
Paul is on the other line. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. How you doing? Tony, as always.
How you doing?
An absolute pleasure to speak to you. An absolute hero to me.
I'm going to start cutting people off.
By the way, what a night tonight. Paul, you're an absolute fine gentleman, and what a night tonight. The solar eclipse is being eclipsed by all these compliments.
You with socks.
No, I'm going to try and get this.
Play essential.
He's had a gear at Vice Golf.
If you give them one more shout out, I know exactly what you're up to, and other golf manufacturers are available. Anyway, Paul, take it away.
Apart from obviously bigging Tony's best night and one of my best nights in the world up ever, got to say, I came on last week and I really gave it quite tight to Michael Nicholson, but actually looking at what we've done over the weekend, I really have to give the board a bit of credit. I think Duran and Howe have been in really, really good signings, and looking at where we are just now, and when you look at what Rangers have done, they've brought in a hell of a lot more players than us, but let's be honest, They're rubbish. And, you know, as it kind of stands and where we are just now, looking at the moment, I mean, kind of slightly incredibly, it's looking like it's our league to lose, which I couldn't have imagined 2 weeks ago. So, I thought Casper Hu was absolutely brilliant at the weekend. It's probably the first time maybe since a striker that we've had since Moussa Dembele, someone that's making real, you know, runs off, scoring goals, you know, with his head or with his feet. And we actually look like we might be a serious outfit, whereas Derek McInnes's kind of staunch boys look pretty poor, to be honest, you know? And
I'd
be
quite interested to
take
a few subtle digs,
you know.
They weren't subtle.
There's
nothing subtle about that.
Subtle as a sledgehammer.
Yeah, well, that's what was quite funny. The wee kind of digs, but yeah, I
so.
Still think it's like, well, I give you them, but not so subtly every day. I give you one today. I think if you recall,
dear.
I think Derek McInnes is the right man for Rangers. I do. I think he's came in, and I was trying to elaborate earlier. He's come in and he does not know the characters in the building. He doesn't have many people who he can ask what the people are about in that building. I think you'll find some people come out for the freezer in the next couple of weeks and a few people go back in the freezer that he's trusted over the last kind of couple of weeks. I just feel like Celtic have got it right in terms of adding two pieces of quality, but I think Carter Vickers, for me, in that Celtic team just transforms him. He's the one that holds everything together. You see what he brings to the team, his cover-on runs, everything he does. He is a leader from behind. There's a solar eclipse. And he... on the TV,
it doesn't count if it's on the telly. We need,
we still get to see it, but
proper evidence of this. Do you know what? See if I looked through. No, I thought I could see a wee window through that other studio, but we're oblivious.
Celtic, just to finish on that point, have a lot more of a solid base than Rangers going into this transfer window, especially with people coming back from injury. And they've done the right thing in adding two proper quality players, and it looks like they're going to add a few more.
I wonder what Paul's opinion would be if it doesn't go well in the Champions League qualifier. Mm-hmm. And then people would say, should you got a lot more bodies in beforehand? So
it's back to what Celtic ultimately eight, because yeah. A lot of the stuff we have when Celtic are in for criticism on this show, what we always get in the phones is people saying just staying ahead of Rangers is not what we're about. That's not good enough. We want, you know, we want to aim higher. We want to do things in Europe. So that'll be the next test of that, won't it?
Yeah, listen, I think obviously Paul said that he feels as if he's ahead of Rangers and the league's for theirs to lose. So ultimately he's saying that, you know, the biggest rivals, he wants to take another one, another title in the bag. But I think there'll be a large proportion of Celtic fans who would be really upset if they didn't manage to get through to the Champions League, because it's, you know, it's a winnable tie. But you, as I said, I felt as if the bench at the weekend was still a bit light in terms of quality to make a difference. So obviously there's been linked to these two players potentially coming in the door in the next couple of days, which would obviously increase that. But where are they physically in the grand scale of things?
Thank you very much to Paul. It's time for us to have a go at this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see what Alex Ray and Tony Watt are made of. At the previous break, Tony Watt sat there and told me he was going to be able to predict what some of the questions were. And he had a go, and let me tell you, he was nowhere near it. So the real deal on Beat the Pundit is next, and you have to call us before 7 o'clock, 01419511025.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4 till 7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt are here. It's 01419511025. We've had some strong takes on Rangers' current situation. We've got a lot to get through in the transfer market as the club tries to find a replacement for Youssef Chermiti. Still need a left back. Mohamed Diamande's exit has been confirmed tonight, and so on. We've had some Celtic fans on just before the news talking about being happy now with the quality over quantity. Mika Bauer seems to be the next one in, not confirmed yet. Similar story with Haseem Hassan. So we wait until that gets the official announcement. Not quite yet, but keep all the calls coming. Hearts fans, how do you feel about a 6-1 aggregate defeat heading into tomorrow's return against Benfica? What's the mindset there? You just want to bury your head in the sand and forget that it's ever happening, or can you still try and take some positives and build on an impressive performance at the weekend? Motherwell fans, Fir Park's going to be rocking tomorrow. You've made a new signing as well, so why not give us a call on any of the above or anything else, and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Tony Watt's still trying to predict the questions that will be asked tonight, and he's not even close. So I'm looking forward to it. It might not be him, it might be Alex Ray. We will toss the coin and find out. But one thing is for sure, one of them will take on James in Inverness. How's it going, James?
How's it going, Trip? You all right?
Fancy going along to Inverness Partick Thistle next Friday and giving these two dogs abuse?
Roger, I'm actually going. I'm going next Friday. The mushroom will be getting abused, but Alex, a local hero here.
A local hero, are you? In the Inverness area?
Oh, aye.
That just means James is a
Cactus
Rangers
Jack.
Fan. That's
that was
all
a nightclub back in the day.
That's all it means, is that James is a Rangers. Yeah, make sure. So Mark Wilson and Tony Watt are getting it
so
in the next.
So I'm
getting
abused,
I'm not sure who Tony Watt is, to be honest.
Nice.
Good, good, because you've been getting enough praise.
Oh,
on this show.
Yeah. Do you want in too early there, James?
Give us that energy after this. Beat the Pundit, Jamesy boy.
Let's bring him back down to earth. I'll toss the coin. It'll be blue for Tony Watt as well, and red for Alex Ray. So let's see how we get on. I like the look of these questions tonight as well. Oh, you've got your chance.
Jamesy boy!
The good thing is, if you lose, You've got to. You put another pair of socks.
Aye. Put essentials.
Collection next Friday.
Exactly. Right. So if you lose, genuinely, get the signed ball or the coin in your kit.
Get yourself on to www.playessentials.co.uk and pick your socks if you win.
Forget about your self promotion. If he wins, you need to be delivering.
I've got navy. In red socks.
Forget the socks.
He wants a pair.
I'm talking about the
ball or the coin.
He can have that, but he also get an Inverness themed pair of socks.
He's a Rangers fan.
Red and blue.
Local team. You know what I mean?
Red and blue, and I'll bring white as well. Get you red, white, and blue. Put it up.
Right. Okay. Let's get ready. Tony Watt up against James. We'll give Tony something else to listen to. James, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you do not know the answer. Okay.
Good.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Name the year Rangers win the treble and a total eclipse is visible in the UK.
3.
Which Celtic player joined from Augsburg in 2024?
Oops.
Who were the last winners of the Tennent Sixes?
Rangers.
Who's older, John McGinn or Andy Robertson?
Andy Robertson.
Which SPFL club was formed from a school team? In what stadium would you find the Ormond stand?
Pass.
Okay, Tony Watt, can you hear us?
That was a tune.
Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
What's it called?
All I Want to Do.
Oh, nice.
Let's have some fun on Beat the Pundit. Let's try it. 30 seconds on the clock.
By the way, he must have done well because you're smiling.
Let's wait and see.
Your time, Tony,
starts now. Name the year Rangers win the treble and a total eclipse is visible in the UK.
1998.
Which Celtic player joined from Augsburg in 2024?
Pass.
Who were the last winners of the Tennent Sixes?
Patrick Thistle.
Who's older, John McGinn or Andy Robertson?
Andy Robertson.
Which SPFL club was formed from a school team?
Queen's Park.
In what stadium would you find the Ormond stand?
Pass.
Which German club did Aberdeen beat to win the Super Cup?
Pass.
What K-pop band wore Ranger strips on stage at a gig in 2023?
What are these?
I have no idea. That's outrageous.
I think I've got one now.
You know the answer, the K-pop?
K-pop demons or whatever they're called.
My daughter's into that, but I don't think that's the answer. Anyway, James, how do you think it went?
I don't know. I missed a couple of questions he answered, so I'm not sure how you wanted to start
with. I know. Name not the year. Rangers win the treble and a total eclipse
78.
Is visible. No. I have to tell you what, hard lines. It's 97. 1999.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Do you know what? Almost
wee dick.
Blew it. I almost let the cat out of the bag earlier because remember I was talking about getting the glasses in the paper the last time there was an eclipse and nearly said 99, then I remembered that that was a question on Beat the Pundit.
That's the hardest lines of question I've ever heard.
What did you say for the second one again, James? Which Celtic player joined from Augsburg in 2024?
Engels.
I've almost certainly butchered the pronunciation of that, but I thought we'd just,
you know, Engels.
Engels. 1-0 to James. 1-0 to James. Who were the last winners of the Tennent Sixes? It's Partick Thistle. Well done, Tony Watt.
93.
Equaliser. Bringing them back. You happy with that?
What is it? The current players that are invited?
I don't think so. I don't know, actually. I just assumed not. That would be good, though.
Nah, it's over two days at the weekend.
That's up your street.
Well, 2 days. That'd be rough.
But surely players come.
No, I would love that. At wee six a side game. But was it the old players that used to do it?
No, it was the current players.
That's what I mean. So are they going to do it this year? What are they doing with
it's
that?
It's legends, I think.
Yeah, legends. Oh, yeah.
That's bone.
And what about that, though? The holders, technically, not being invited.
That's poor.
Equaliser, Tony Watt. You both knew that Andy Robertson is 7 months older than John McGinn. None of you knew that the Hamilton Accies Academicals were formed from a school team. The thing is, you should have an advantage. You've played for nearly every team in Scotland.
But I don't know.
Ormond.
Ever sat in the Ormond stand, probably, in amongst when you've been bombed at St Johnston.
I played there.
I know that's
much I know about them, mate.
McDermott Park. What German club did Aberdeen beat to win the Super Cup? Hamburg is the Super Cup. It's obviously the Super Cup this evening. So we're still level. But you had the chance, Tony. You've been let down by your K-pop knowledge. It's Stacey.
What?
Get in there and what? Sort
that's 2 weeks in a row. It's been a disgrace for them. The Macedonia last week.
They need to up their game.
Oh, they tried to do you in with Macedonia.
Yeah. K-pop? It's a different genre. It's a different world of music.
I don't know. What I'm going to do, I'll find who's one of the producers is coming in here before the end of the show, because I've got something I need
to get off my chest
with them. Something I need to explore further. But I do genuinely think everybody will enjoy it, so we'll do that before the end of the show. We're going to tiebreaker, aren't we?
Oh, no pressure, Tony.
Okay.
Come on, Jamesy boy.
I'll ask the question. I'll invite you to write your answer down, and then you give me your attempt, James, okay? Right. Oh, no. You're going to be furious at this question if you think they've been bad. How many points on Scrabble would Jan Venegar of Hesselink be worth? Quick, write it down, Tony, before
you work it out.
Well, that's the whole point, because he could be Googling it. So quick, yeah, I'll write it down.
Okay.
Jan Venegar of Hesselink on Scrabble. Right, James, what are you going for?
81.
81, says James. You've gone 38. Yeah. Do you know your Scrabble?
Ish.
Because the way that you thought, like, you could have worked that out, like, I would have been
no way.
Well, the A's and the E's are all ones, right? So that's like five or six letters. Your V's and your J's are fours or fives.
J's an eight, but V is a four.
Is it? Oh, I didn't know that.
By the way, see, he's not as daft as people make out, this guy.
See, that's the biggest myth in Scottish football, that I'm daft.
I agree to a point. I don't know if it's the biggest myth, but I'd agree you're not as daft as people think. I'd agree.
No, it's some act, though. I like people thinking it because they are miles off it.
It's 44, you're only six out.
Jamesy boy!
Look at the state of this guy.
Jamesy boy! You want these socks? You better go on the website and buy them.
The price has just been put up, James. James. He's put the price up, James.
That's the better man one, obviously.
Oh my god.
You'll hear me in the stand next Friday, though.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, James.
Loud and proud, James. How are you feeling about your team at the moment, James, with everything that's going on?
Alec actually played with you for the Cabletown Loyal about 15 years ago, if you remember, you and Big Marvin.
Yeah, it was a charity day, yeah.
Well, there's always a safe bet, because if it was a world record for most charity games played in, I honestly think you would be the record breaker.
No.
I'm waiting for my MBA
to drop.
Which, by the way, is a good thing, because you're a charitable man.
Exactly, yeah, but absolutely. I just mean, like, in terms of the football matches, if there's a game going, he's involved.
No anymore. You seen him try to move now?
Are you struggling still?
No, you're kidding.
You're better now, aren't you? And you've been in the gym.
I'll scud myself, never misses a target.
By the way, the right foot's good.
Is he still joining in training?
No, see when the ball drops and he starts pinging things, the right foot's good, aye.
He's still trying to work his way into the team.
Well, that's Friday.
Anyway, right, thank you very much to James from Inverness, beaten by Tony Watt.
Can I make a suggestion to the guys that are calling up this show? Do not get wide with the big guy before beat the pundit. It just motivates him.
It does.
I don't think there was anything wrong with that. All we've had is sycophants all night talking about, oh, Tony gave me the best night of my life. I think it's fine if somebody comes on and says, don't even know who that is. I think that's okay.
30 is a good guess.
That is a good guess. I'm not playing you at Scrabble.
Proud of that.
01419511025. That is the number that you need. Whether you are wanting to look ahead to tomorrow, might be a quite nice time to go and do that, or reflecting on all the transfer news and everything else that is doing the rounds. We'd be more than happy to take your call. Motherwell fans, where are you? You've made a signing today, which is quite an interesting one, and you are in European action tomorrow, and with a real chance as well, I think you would have to say. 1-1 against Helsinki from the first leg, back home advantage. Tony, it takes, you've been it well, specifically at Motherwell and other similarly sized clubs. I always think it can be quite hard to, I know this sounds tin pot, but, you know, sign a player that you're quite impressed with the backstory or the CV. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, usually shopping in that market, everything's a kind of unknown quantity. You wait and see. But I just thought the Joe Hodge one was interesting, because straight away, joins the club, undisclosed fee. So Motherwell are paying a transfer fee from a Portuguese side, FC Tondela or Tondela. Again, just quite interested. Yeah. Not the type of market Motherwell would maybe go and pay a fee to your deal. He came through an academy at Man City. He's only 23, been out in Portuguese football, born in Manchester, had a bit of time at Wolves. I think he's even got he's got Ireland caps. Yep. He's been called up. Midfield player, kind of deep line midfielder. So Motherwell have done a lot right recently, so I think that's why people are looking at this and wondering if that can be an interesting signing.
I think Motherwell have elevated themselves up a level, to be honest, since when I was there, and there's no shame in saying that. I think when I was
there, your wage is off the,
well, that's
off
thing.
The bill. It's easy to throw a bit of money around now.
They have went from being a team who 1 year good, 1 year not so good. I remember when they were finishing third and doing well under, was it Stuart McCall? and then they kind of dipped for a wee bit. I know they've never been relegated officially. Then they got third under Stephen Robinson, dipped a wee bit. 1 year in the top six, 1 year out. I get that. But Motherwell have elevated themselves to a spot where they're probably expected to finish around 6th to 8th, which is no shame as well with the big clubs you've got in the country. Now, every single year, with the budget they had, they shouldn't have been that. They should have always been fighting relegation. It's just, it's a fact. And now they're a team that people want to go to because they've got a culture and they've got an identity. And I think with this new training ground as well, Motherwell are only going to get stronger and stronger.
I think they'll finish off that job against Helsinki tomorrow.
Yeah, I do. I fancy them strongly. I've been impressed with the style again. You know, I school last year, it's just a continuation of that. And I've been impressed, yeah.
I think last week's result didn't get spoke about enough. Celtic and Rangers struggle away from home in Europe. Motherwell going away to a team, obviously, as big as Helsinki. How they're a prestigious European team in terms of, at that level. They've always done all right. They always do well in the league. And Motherwell aren't known for going away and getting big results in Europe, like most teams in Scotland, to be honest. And I think not a lot's been said about it. And now they're at home, 90 minutes to go and obviously book their place in the next round, which will be a tougher game, albeit, but it's an achievement if they do get to the next round.
I do wonder, though, if you start to see how difficult the schedule can be, or that balancing act, as you say. Because I don't think we should overinflate it. Finnish football clearly will have its limitations. I'm not saying Motherwell have taken on world beaters, but I think it's 17 seasons in a row they've been in Europe. So you're up against that type of, just that experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
That note, whereas maybe Motherwell looked a little bit tired in the second half against Falkirk at the weekend. Then having to do that, having to go, honestly, see if the tiredness catches up and they lose away to Steny and Marvin Bartley's Stenhouse Muir at the week.
Devastating.
He'll not see me for weeks. Yeah. I can't face him if that happens. But on a more serious note, you know, that trying to do that,
it's a hard juggling act. You know, when you think about, you see it time after time, especially the provincial clubs, you know, and we often talk about the strength and depth that the Old Firm have, then they can negotiate that and then come back and get victories. But you always feel as if there's some sort of hangover coming back for Europe, and you know, they have to negotiate the ball fair, because financially it allows you to then go and buy better players, because you're getting these European ties, home gates, and then obviously television money. So there's an upshot to it as well, Gordon, but it is very difficult to negotiate.
0141 951 1025, keep the calls coming in, and I might get the producer through to do his party piece when we return.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Tony Watt and Alex Ray are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Keep the calls coming in, whether it is the transfer market, some of the comments made by Derek McInnes today, we've got big European games tomorrow and so on. Whilst you line up those calls, let's give a teaser to Tony and Alex.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, I'm going to just read the question and you can have some thinking time. You don't need to get back to me straight away, because I've got something else I want to squeeze into the show. Thank you to Dave in Stornoway for sending this in. With Aston Villa in Super Cup action against PSG tonight, can you name the 6 Scottish players who have made the most appearances alongside John McGinn? So can you name the 6 Scottish players who've made the most appearances alongside John McGinn?
Give you one. Des Bremner.
Alongside McGinn.
Right,
like,
okay,
played in the same team. You're thinking Villa, right? Okay, no.
Sorry, I've got
that.
You're
right. Right?
You're about to get yourself played out of contention for a game. You need to respect him.
Well, unlucky with that answer.
So played with John McGinn most times. Scottish.
Andy Robertson.
No.
So it's Cobb then.
Right, I'll leave it there, right? I'll leave it hanging. Because the reason being, right, for anyone who's watching on the live stream, you'll see Tony and Alex have been joined by a third panellist. Now, this is producer Jay. Now, I know what you're thinking. We usually try and keep the producers hidden, try not to show them to the public. They sit in a wee kind of weird dark room back there and like press buttons and come up with weird questions on Beat the Pundit. I don't really want to know what goes on in that room. It looks weird, it smells weird, and it's best to be avoided. So we've brought him out into the light because it's come to my attention that he's got a serious party piece. Have you heard about this?
No.
Honestly.
Have you?
There's not that type of party piece. It's football related party piece, hence why we can do this on the show. How long have you worked here?
Coming up 2 years.
Why has this just come to light today?
So I was on trial on Gary and Stephen's show just before us, and they of course play Spence versus Shazam. And we were just talking in the studio one day, and we discovered that I can basically do Spence versus Shazam, but for Celtic and Rangers games.
I know, but why have you never mentioned it before? I know how it came about
because
today.
Because I'm stuck in that little room over there, that's why.
See, I should talk to them more often. I pretended they don't exist. I should talk to them, learn a bit about them. So, listen to this. This guy claims, we're about to find out, that any Celtic Rangers, Rangers Celtic game, since 1995.
No.
When were you born?
2002.
As long as we tell him when the game
2002?
Was 2002? Yeah. It's a tough paper round day.
What?
What?
Oh.
Anyway, any game, any Old Firm game, and he'll tell you the score and the scorers for either team.
I must specify it's the 1995-96 season.
Right.
The Bells Premier Division.
What's wrong with it? Like,
why don't you go back and do the 94-95 as well?
And then brush up on your skill. Right. Maybe. So you seriously, you're pretty confident if I just give. So what do I need to give you?
Just give me the date. Bear in mind, Gary Spence doesn't get every single song right on Spence versus Shazam, but I'm backing myself.
I back you.
Confident, eh?
Right, okay, 31st of December 2016.
31st of December 2016 was Rangers' first season back in the top flight. They scored first via Kenny Miller, and then Moussa Dembele equalised, and Scott Sinclair tapped it in at the back post to win Celtic 2-1 and sent them 19 points clear.
Hold on, it's just one. It could be lucky. I'm guessing it's not.
Though.
I've got all the lists. I've got the database in front of me. Right, let's go.
Rangers,
26th of March 2000.
That was the season before Martin O'Neill joined. 26th of March 2000. Now there was 4-0 at Ibrox at the end of the season, but that's normally the third league game, and it was 1-0 Rod Wallace with the goal.
You were right. The first bit is they're both in March.
That's why. Okay, well, if it's the 4-0, Rod Wallace got the one at Celtic Park. The 4-0 was a double from George Alberts, Andrew Kanchelskis, and Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. The one 4-0.
To be fair, you did say March.
11th of February 2001.
11th of February 2001.
Oh, there as well.
Again, this was Martin O'Neill's first season when Celtic won the treble. February. I'm gonna go for. So the second game was at Ibrox. The 6-2 was in August, I believe. Is this the League Cup semi-final?
No. 4 days later.
4 days later. Is 1-0 Alan Thompson Celtic Park?
This is unbelievable. You've worked here for 2 years and you've never revealed that you can do this.
Yeah, I know. Stuck in that wee room.
2nd of September 2018.
2nd of September 2018. Steven Gerrard's first season and Olivier Ncham scored for Celtic.
In a 1-0 win.
You're trying to say this really quick to try and stump him.
Rangers played UEFA 4 days before.
Right, you don't show off. Nobody likes a show off.
3 or 4 days before. They were in Europe.
30th of September 1995. This is the first game in your list.
First game in the list. It was the first league game of that season. It was at Celtic Park. The new Celtic Park had just opened. Celtic played at Hampden the year before, and Alec Cleland and Paul Gascoigne scored for Rangers.
Get out.
That was my birthday. I remember it really well. What a good night that was.
Honestly, anybody whose brain works like that is to be avoided.
That's
well
brilliant.
Done. Well done.
Oh, magnificent.
Seriously.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
By the way, you're asking about McGinn questions. Just sit here and ask the
colours. I've got two answers for that.
He's born in 2002 and he's rhyming off 90. I can't remember results that happened last season.
Mikey O'Halloran, obviously, you know, Mikey played at Rangers and he could tell you every result ever in a Champions League finals.
Andy Halliday can do that.
When it started.
Andy Halliday.
Andy's quite intelligent when it comes to all that.
That's different. That's me just naming dates and he's going.
He's plucking it out. Goal scorers.
Similar kind of vibe.
Is it quite. I'm ashamed to admit, I could have done that all night.
He needs to get out. No, I'm serious. He needs to get out. I'll get himself.
Do you think we should have kept? Do you think we should have kept him in here and just done like 50 of them in a row just to see how many?
He probably gets them.
I'm convinced. Though, I mean, that was a good spread. That was a good sample.
He done him well with the old February and March
because there was 4 days between them. I didn't even mean that. That was a bit sneaky. But
I'm going to go to the Clyde party this coming Friday.
Stay away from him.
Just on next to him and throw some dates at him.
It's easy to mock. That is outstanding. And producer stuff, Jay. Oh my word. Right. 01419511025. That is the number.
Brilliant.
That you need. Please get in touch. I just learned this today that he was capable of it. So
brilliant.
There you go. Did you get any on that teaser? We were looking for the Scottish players who've played the most with John McGinn over his career since he's in Super Cup action this evening.
No, we're fine. Sorry, I'm just too busy.
Kenny McLean.
Yes, 112 times split between St Mirren and Scotland.
What's he on the list? Can you
not telling you that yet?
Scottish players. Paul Hanlon?
Yes, 102 times for Hibs.
What about a left back at that
Stevenson?
Time?
Nice.
Yeah, yeah, well done. 130. I'm going to sound like producer Jay here, but I've got it written down. That's the difference. 132 times for Hibs in 63 minutes together in a 2-0 friendly loss to Peru in 2018.
Right. By the way, right. You know what my thing is, right?
Because again, I don't genuinely don't fully know what goes on in there. I don't quite know how many of them are in there. I don't exactly know who does what. So after Jay's bit, I've looked at the screen and there's no calls, and I've got a little kind of chat function, and I've kind of said, any chance I need another call? And he's went, sorry, I was just coming back through. So the reason there's no calls is because he's in here showing off his Rain Man.
Aye, aye. You'll be walking about the office.
40 studio, 40 producers in there.
I didn't really think that one through. Grant is now on the line. Hi, Grant.
How's your hung guys? You all right?
Aye, yeah, good, how Grant. Are you?
I'm not too bad. Just back to the kind of, not bad. Just back to the kind of Rangers carry on. Mm-hmm. Over this kind of, that's 11 signings they're going to make now. And McInnes is still going on, oh, we need more. We need this. There's five or six centre midfielders in the team now, and not one of them are creative. And also, the signings he's made, maybe apart from Shankland, none of them are first team players. They're just squad players. And I hate to say it, Celtic are buying quality, as you've all been saying. They get their guys back for injury. Celtic look really, really good once the guys are back. Rangers, they're just, They're buying 11 guys. Where's all this money coming from? McInnes is wanting to buy more guys. This fair play thing, Rangers haven't got all this money. So they're going to get loan signings. So that is not building a team. This is guys that are going to come in the loan now. We can't get a team built around guys in loan. So next season we're going to be the same again. We're going to get 5, 6, 7 guys in.
Is it maybe a bit early on some of them, Grant? Like, I know there wasn't many positives at the weekend, but Daisuke Yokota maybe showed flashes, all the way through Makanya. Is it not a bit early to say that none of these new signings can be like first team starters? Have we seen enough of those two to know that?
Maybe seen that, but you tell me, where are we going to get our creativity for the midfield? There's nothing creative. Tavernier, is Ross McCrory better than Tavernier? I don't think so. I still think we're lacking a good centre half as well. The keeper, I think he'll be a good guy. But there's just a big, big gap now between Rangers and Celtic. Celtic are buying the quality, and they are going to come on. Their guys are going to come back from injury. Celtic look like a team. Rangers don't. They've just got squad players, and I just don't see where the creativity is going to come. And if we do need to get these loan guys in now, because we can't keep spending money, because Rangers don't have it.
Is that fair, right? Because there's always two things you can do here. Obviously, if you're Rangers, compare yourself to Celtic. And if you're Celtic, compare yourself to Rangers. Ultimately, that is what you'll be judged against. Yep. But I wonder, Alex, even if Rangers are comparing themselves to themselves, is that a legitimate question, legitimate concern? Even if you're not saying it's a disaster and it's a shambles and the season's going to be rubbish and it's all a failure, are there still legitimate concerns about whether it's been upgraded since last season? Are there any upgrades? You know, the team finished third last season. The Rangers fans don't need me to keep banging on about that. Trophyless. Has there been enough signs of upgrading in individual positions?
It doesn't look that way, Gordon, currently, due to the results. When I look at it and I look at the performances, I can understand the frustration of Grant on the line. I was sat here in the studio on Sunday, and I was crying out for creativity in the middle of the park as well. They have a raft of players in the middle of the park. I think I had roughly about 8 midfielders, I would like someone to grab the game by the scruff of the neck, dictate play, and control games. But when I say that, I mean by actually being really progressive, playing through the lines, playing at a tempo, switch of plays, balls over the top for strikers to run in and cause the opposition problems. I felt as if it was too laboured, too ponderous, and it became very predictable. And I think the lion's share of the shots at goal were from outside the box. So for me, they need to get address that, because they have to ask the opposition more questions. And the actual, and listen, Gordon, we have to put it in context as well. We're 3 or 4 games into this season, so we're not really going to make judgments on players just coming in the door. We've seen players kind of slow starts, we've seen guys have great starts, but until they start winning games, then I think people will always be going, this is not good enough and it's not quite at the level they're required.
It's just as a small example of something about the player trading and the success levels of it. Mo Diamandé's exit confirmed today. Remind me of that time frame. Were you at the club when he was brought in?
Yes, he was initially brought in on loan, wasn't he?
I guess he's another one that the hope and the belief was that he would go for a lot more money than he came, but he ends up going away for a sort of similar fee.
Yep.
Having played quite well in some big games and maybe faded out of others. Yeah. Is that another example of one that was just, I don't know, fine, you know, didn't really...
Yeah, listen, I think he did okay. That would be the assessment. I think in an ideal world, he would have liked to have kicked on to a higher level, playing more international football on a regular basis. And he was one of the ones that kind of, the analytics, you know, he ticked all the boxes, he was covering distance, high speed running, the good age, so that you're looking to buy him for like $4.5 million and then punt him for an uplift. That didn't quite materialise. And having seen him over the couple of years, you're thinking, right, okay, do they need better? Do they need thing, mate? I would suggest they would. And by actually getting your money back, it allows you to then reinvest that in.
Just a very, an even smaller point than that, Tony, I just wondered whether you think Diamandé is good or bad, and should have been sold, should or shouldn't have been sold. Is there any surprise for you that, given he has played a significant amount of minutes this season, that he was sold in between the two legs? Am I looking too much into that? I just could that, you know, similar to what we've said about other players and Celtic and maybe wait until after the ties. Surprised he'd gone in between the two legs?
I like Diamandé as a player. I think he's got a lot of positive attributes. I wouldn't have sold him before this game. Obviously, McInnes knows more than me. He probably wasn't going to be playing him by the looks of it, but
well, I think that might be the type of decision that's above Derek McInnes anyway, no?
But maybe they come
about
and ask
when he's
him,
sold?
Maybe they come and ask him and say,
surely any manager, if they're given the total choice, just says, I'll just do it after this
I
game.
I know, but maybe he just wasn't in his plans and he wants the money. Maybe it speeds up another signing. But I think this all goes back to Celtic and Rangers' player trading models. And I think Celtic are miles better at cashing in the right time and getting bigger fees for players, because there was probably a time where Diamandé was worth 8-9 million, maybe even a wee bit more, but they never cashed in at the right time.
I think there was. Did you ever hit those heights?
No, I think there was periods when in Europe he seemed to do well in European games, Gordon. It almost seems as if he was better suited to that. Again, Diamandé wasn't for me a player who would unlock defences, give and goes, through passes. I just didn't think he created, if you're talking about modern day football in terms of numbers, wasn't really a high scoring offensive player either. So I think it's the right thing to sell him at this current time. There is an argument to say, but that the argument would only be is if Derek McInnes wanted him for tomorrow night's game, and clearly he didn't. Mm.
Grant, what about the striking department? Derek McInnes confirming today he will need to go back and try and recruit a replacement for Youssef Tchermiti.
Yep. It comes back down to the kind of money again. So is he going to get somebody on loan? If he gets somebody on loan, it's just short term, it's just kind of patching the team up again. What really is getting me is a club Rangers size and we don't have a left back. We've signed all these guys and we're struggling to get a left back. It looks as if maybe Sterling will need to play left back. He's never going to do good at left back. There's been too many signings focused on centre left back, and it's as if they've just missed the key areas. So they have. And I think it's mind-boggling how a club Rangers size is struggling to have a left back in their team now.
Had to play Dragojevic at right back at the weekend, Alex. I wonder. Yeah. I saw someone mention earlier that Dan Neil has played left back for Sunderland before.
Yeah, he's versatile.
Did you see it on the other side, or is it a Sterling job as Grant?
Listen, I actually think he's got a dilemma there, because you obviously think about Dragojevic going to right back at the weekend, Gordon, and then you've got Dujon Sterling and McCrory on the bench, two natural right siders, and then you're thinking I'll put a midfielder there. So, you know, they've got a dilemma, because obviously they want to try and make sure that they don't concede anything tomorrow night. But, you know, they're going to have to, someone's going to have to plug that left back berth, whether that's Dujon, whether that's Dan Neil. Obviously they'll be working on that in the last couple of days, because it's important that they get that right.
Yeah, I think they've left ourselves a little bit short. I think they'll still progress in the tie, but they've left ourselves a wee bit short. I think Sterling, the problem is he was part of the defence that looked a bit shaky at Dundee United, was it? Mm-hmm. And even last week, never really covered herself with glory in Poland. So I'm just not sure he's the answer, especially if Rangers need to go out and attack. I think Sterling's more of a 1v1 defender. He likes to get into a kind of a 1v1 battle, to be honest. Absolutely. I think he likes to kind of show his cards and show people that he's good 1v1, but I think he switches off, and I don't think he brings a lot attacking, to be honest. I would probably go with a Danny or somebody different.
Thank you very much to Grant in Prestwick. We're looking for a tribute, if you like, to John McGinn playing in the Super Cup tonight. Who are the six Scottish players who've played the most alongside John McGinn? Lewis Stevenson, Kenny McLean, and Paul Hanlon so far.
Marshall.
Good question, this. No. Oh,
Robert Snodgrass?
No.
Try to think of Scottish at Aston Villa. Alan Hutton? No.
That's a great show, by the way. But no cigar.
They're all going to be Hibs and St Mirren then.
I would say you're better going down that route. And what I will tell you now is they have to have played alongside John McGinn 86 times to make it onto this list. So
Stephen
it is
Thompson?
Quite an innings. No.
I'm struggling.
I'll give you some thinking time and we'll hopefully get the answers when we return.
It's game on. Until 8, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Before I get the answers to the teaser or take any more calls, I just wanted to quickly, one more time, because you've got about 12 and a half minutes left to enter the competition for the golf. So it's the Big Scottish Golf Day. It's all thanks to Arnold Clark, and it's taking place at the Carrick on Friday the 21st. But this prize we've got lined up for you is sensational. It's a 4-ball chauffeured there by JJS Executive Travel. You get your breakfast, the golf, barbecue, all that sort of stuff, a Q&A with the Super Scoreboard pundits, and then an overnight at Cameron House as well. So it's worth a lot of money, that prize. And all you need to do is text GOLF to 84901. That makes a £5 donation to Cast for Kids. The text costs one standard message plus your £5 donation, which is taken within 60 minutes, and you can reply cancel if you want. It's over 18s only. You must ask the bill payer's permission. The T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. But the most important detail, by a mile at this stage, is that it closes in 12 minutes' time. Do not miss out. Text GOLF right now to 84901. Text GOLF to 84901. Right, on the teaser, we're looking for you to name the six Scottish players with the most appearances alongside John McGinn. Lewis Stevenson, Kenny McLean, Paul Hanlon. So far.
Are any of them pundits on this show?
No.
Okay, Scotty Allen ruled out.
All right, no.
Dylan McGeoch?
Yeah, well, to be fair, Dylan did a few shows last season.
Oh, well.
Yep, 86 times. Two for Scotland against Peru and Mexico.
And Dan McGregor?
Yes. Do you know he's top?
What?
Because St Mirren and Hibs.
Ah, oh, sweet.
141 wise. Games together. All right, we'll leave it there. We'll get the one remaining answer, hopefully, by the end
of the show.
Awesome, we can get back to it. We can absolutely get back to that. Let's
bring
in Connor, who's in Dunoon. Hi, Connor.
All right, lads. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. I'm over the moon at the minute with how my team's playing.
Oh, which team then?
Partick Thistle. Yep.
How do you know?
Just, that was only going to be a bit. That was a bit.
I
thought it was Celtic.
All right. Oh, yeah, it's actually Partick Thistle.
I was joking.
No chance. There's only one team in Glasgow.
Are you impressed with what you're seeing then?
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant, lads. I'm over the moon. With the disappointment of last season going into this season on such a positive note, there doesn't seem to be any negativity at all. We've maintained the vast majority of our squad. We've brought in class signings, Droj, Tendo, McFarlane, the keeper I rate highly. There's a lot of excitement at the minute around Fir Hill. We're taking 2,000 plus to the capital on Sunday. It's just brilliant in every way at the minute. It's fantastic.
It's the transfer window. So transfers are all the rage at all different levels. There'll be different ways. Take us behind the curtain a bit, Alex, then. So when Partick Thistle sign Seb Drozd, who's been at Queen's Park, I'm surprised you've forgiven him from the whole Ibrox episode when you were on the staff.
Well, I actually forgot all about that. I've not mentioned
it to him. Did he
remind you? No, he's not.
Has
mentioned
he never?
It. No,
oh,
do you know the thing is? He's actually quite a quiet guy. He's kind of unassuming.
You've got to be bringing that up.
Listen, if he wants an uppercut, then he's always like, To be fair, he's quite a big
on
lad.
A serious note then, so what does that process look like from identification to sort of bringing him in at that level and, you know, a player from elsewhere in the league who has hit the ground running?
Yeah, listen, we've obviously touched on that tonight, the importance of hitting the ground running, and I think the good thing about it is we've obviously brought Hendo and we've obviously brought Seb, and they are different profiles to what we've had in our time there, and what that does is it gives us options. So 60-70 minutes last season, sometimes you were scrambling about due to players being injured and players moving. And we've obviously got Gary Mackay, Stephen as well, who brings real quality. So we feel as if at the top end we're a lot better placed than we were last year, because it just gives us options. And again, competition for places, Gordon. And
so does that go back to when you play against Queen's Park? Do you talk about them on that day?
Yeah.
Or so that's the first eye test because you're playing against them. Does that then get backed up by going scouting them again against other opponents? Is their numbers taken into account? How does it work?
No, very much so. I think we look at these guys on a regular basis, and we go to a lot of games, Gordon. Even we're obviously playing on Sunday, so we'll take in a couple of games as well. So you're always looking, constantly looking at guys you could potentially bring in, and then have to fit in as well. I think the character within our dressing room is so important, and it's crucial because we want to try and create a culture. I think that's one of the great things that Mark's done. He's brought a culture that everyone's together. The dressing room has bought into it, and more importantly, we've brought the fans along with us. I think that's an important thing, and this is not to fluff anybody. I'm not like Tony, you know what I mean? I just tell it how it is. He's a fluffer. Whereas
can we hold on, can we choose an alternative phrase?
I'll come up with something for next week, don't worry about it. So he's a schmoozer. Is that mm-hmm. So no, whereas no, I call it as I see it. But the good thing about it is, Gordon, see if you think back to last Friday, there was 4,000 fans at Fir Hill, and there was 4,000 fans last week, Gordon, and that is really impressive and good numbers at Fir Hill. If we can continue to push forward, no wonder you've googled what a fluff.
Stop repeating it. I know exactly what it is.
Why did you google it?
That's why I asked you to stop saying it.
Right, okay.
Can I please apologise for the tone which this show has plunged to in the final part? Apologise for Alex's language.
Anyway, I'm not like Tony, who kind of does things so he can benefit somewhere down the line. I just tell it straight. So anyway, the point is that we're really grateful for the fan base that's showed up for the Thistle fans.
Just when you think you've heard it all. You've been called a lot of things in your time. That is it. That's a new...
That's the first time I've been called
right
that.
Enough, don't repeat it.
And it's not even the top 10 worst things I've been called in Scottish football, so thanks.
Connor, they too won't mind. With all this comes expectation, I take it, that it's going to be a special season. Is that the hope?
I'm hoping so. I'm trying to compose myself after listening to that. I'm hoping so. Not to put too much pressure on them, but it's the squad's the strongest it's been in probably my whole time being a Thistle fan, and that's over a decade and a bit. And it all looks like it's just coming together very nicely. And leading the charges, Tony Watt, the F word. So yeah.
Oh my word! Right. I've had enough of this show tonight. I'm ending.
Hey,
can I end this early?
There's a job for everybody in the world. So you've got to take your praise. Whatever way it comes to you, if you get called this or you get called that, if it's in a nice way,
thank you to Connor in Dunoon for being the final caller tonight and maybe ever on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Who knows? Right, you've got one more to get on this teaser. We are looking for, in tribute to John McGinn playing in the Super Cup tonight, can you name the six Scottish players who he played the most games alongside? So you're clearly looking for a Hibs St Mirren connection, maybe a Scotland. Darren McGregor, Lewis Stevenson, Kenny McLean, Paul Hanlon and Dylan McGeoch.
Teal.
The last one is only Hibs. Right, okay. No other overlap.
Goalkeeper?
Nope.
Oh, he's gave us a hint there. Overlap.
No. Ooh. No, not at all. I was just going to say there is something quite significantly Hibsy about this last guy.
Well, it's no Martin Boyle, but it probably is Martin Boyle.
He's Australian.
No, but he is Scottish.
I know,
so,
but he's not in this.
That's
Australian.
That's what annoys me with these questions, but I agree.
Who would be even more significantly Hibsy than Martin Boyle?
You've got me there.
Can't really get more
Dave
Hibs.
Gray.
David Gray.
He's not, I'm sure he's half English as well.
No, but Scottish by football nationality.
Okay,
thank you to Tony Watt and to Alex Ray. Thank you for all your calls. A big, big night in Europe across the board tomorrow. So make sure you join us at 6 o'clock. And if you're still out eclipse hunting, enjoy the rest of your night.